What I want to share with you today is what I believe to be the single most important principle in receiving healing and living a healthy life. So listen up. Proverbs chapter 17, if you would turn there with me this morning. Proverbs chapter 17. Listening to a preacher the other day, and he gave some advice in people trying to find books in the Bible, and he said it's in the same testament as Zephaniah. After all these years, I still need to go to the contents page to find Zephaniah. It's in there somewhere. I know roughly where, but they're very hard to find, those minor prophets. God bless you. In some churches, they'd actually try and cast that out of you. Or they'd think it had just left. There goes another one. Deliverance ministry is nothing to sneeze at. Okay, Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22. This is a very well-known verse from the Word of God. It says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. King James says, a merry heart does good like medicine. The Amplified Bible says it like this, a happy heart is a good medicine. A cheerful mind works healing, but a broken spirit dries the bones. The Living Bible puts it this way, a cheerful heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit makes one sick. And this, as I say, I believe this is the key to walking in health and to living a healthy life. And that if you're sick, this is a very important part of your journey toward health and healing. And that is having a merry heart, a cheerful heart. The same thought is brought out in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 15, if you turn back a page or two. I figure if I laugh long enough, I won't need glasses anymore. Obviously, don't laugh enough. That's not true, is it? For those of you who know me well. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 15. All the days of the oppressed are wretched, but a cheerful heart... The cheerful heart has a continual feast. I love that, don't you? The cheerful heart has a continual feast. Phil's been talking about food. Let me continue the analogy this morning. You know what it's like when you're really, really hungry, like about now, to have a beautiful feast laid out before you. Think of your favourite food or your favourite foods. This beautiful table spread with them. My table, there's not a bowl of pasta in sight anywhere. Just beautiful, delicious foods. A lovely leg of lamb. Roast lamb. Dripping with the most savoury, beautiful gravy, Tim. Lashings of mint sauce. Crispy roast potatoes. Roasted vegetables, sweet potato. Go home. Oh, it worked. Carrots, mint peas, and then this magnificent sherry trifle with cream on top. Now, I've just stumbled all the people who don't have sherry and trifle, sorry. You know what I'm saying? And this is a continual feast. And that's what the Bible says a merry heart or a cheerful heart is like. The cheerful heart has a continual feast. In other words, the spirit of that person enjoys life and all of the joys of life. Everything they come across. It's like Phil said around the offering this morning, it's being thankful for everything that you have in your life. And you find something to feast on. You find something to enjoy every step of the way when you have a cheerful heart. When your spirit is broken, when your spirit is crushed, when you're sorrowful, you don't enjoy anything, do you? Even the good things in life, your family, your friends, your church, your relationship with the Lord, food, all of the things that you can enjoy in life, suddenly when your spirit is downcast, nothing's enjoyable. But the cheerful heart has a continual feast. That's what I want us to explore this morning in the next few minutes. First of all, we'll look at what Scripture reveals about the cheerful heart. And I've done a word study on the original text, the Hebrew text, to really draw out the full meanings of some of these words. First of all, the word cheerful. The word cheerful could be translated merry, joyful, glad, rejoicing. The rejoicing heart, the glad heart, the merry heart. The heart is referring to the very center of human life. This is the very center of your life as a Christian. It's often referred to as our spirit. In fact, the words heart and spirit are used interchangeably in Scripture. You'll notice there in Proverbs 17:22 that it compares what happens to the inner person in different situations. It says a cheerful heart is good medicine. A crushed spirit, or it could say a crushed heart, dries up the bones. The word good, does good, means to make well or to make better. So a cheerful heart makes you better, makes you well. It does good like medicine, and that just means a cure. But then it contrasts the cheerful heart to a crushed spirit. The word crushed means to be broken, wounded, stricken, afflicted, or smitten. The word dry, to dry up the bones, means to absolutely wither away. And the bones, in this particular context, refers to the entire skeleton of the body, all of the body. And so I could paraphrase this passage for you as follows. Listen closely. When your spirit is in a joyful state, it acts like a medicine that will cure you of sickness and bring healing to your body. If, on the other hand, your spirit is wounded and afflicted, it will act on your body, causing sickness and disease. I'll read that to you again. This is so vital that we get this. When your spirit is in a joyful state, it acts like a medicine that will cure you of sickness and bring healing to your body. If, on the other hand, your spirit is wounded and afflicted, it will act on your body, causing sickness and disease. It's for this reason that the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. This is one of those Bible statements of priority. It's like Paul in Philippians 3, where he says, this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind, I press on to the things that are before. This is one of those priority statements where the writer of Proverbs, probably Solomon, says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. The Authorized Translation talks about, with all diligence, guarding your heart, because out of it flow the issues of life. In other words, everything that flows out of your life, everything about you that affects its environment, and the impact that you have not only on your own life but on the lives of those around you, flow out of what's inside you. Think about it. Think about those that you've come in contact with over the years. People that have a bubbly, bright personality, they're always cheerful, they're always looking on the bright side of life, as the song goes. They impact their environment around them. And I'm not just talking about someone that's just, you know, being shallow in trying just to be positive all the time, and all. Sometimes people like that can be a bit painful. I'm talking about people that are naturally happy in their heart. They affect their environment positively around them. And conversely, those that are always down, you know, the sort of folk you come across from time to time, you ask them how they are, and as soon as those words come out of your mouth, you go, I regret asking that question, because I know now they're going to tell me for the next 10 minutes. And it'll be the last story, the same story I heard last time when I asked them how they were as well. Now, I'm not saying, church, that there's not a place, you know, where we can really open our hearts up and pour our heart out and be very honest and open and vulnerable. You know what I'm saying today? It's developing that cheerful heart, that merry spirit within you. And it's guarding your heart so that the issues that flow out of your life are good. They're going to bless you and they're going to bless those around you. And so guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow all of the issues of life. Some of you may have read a book or even seen the movie back in the mid-80s, Anatomy of an Illness. It's a fascinating story. It's a very famous story, recounting Norman Cousins' partnership with his doctors in overcoming a crippling and supposedly irreversible degenerative spinal disease. He was diagnosed with this thing, and it was going to get worse and worse and worse, and it was ultimately going to lead to his death. I don't know whether Norman Cousins is a Christian or not. I don't think he is, but he got a hold of this principle that I'm sharing with you this morning, and over the process of time, he hired himself a lot of comedy movies, and he sat down and he started to laugh and laugh and laugh. He developed a merry heart, even in the face of great adversity and suffering. And Norman Cousins is still alive, as far as I know. His situation was reversed. The book Anatomy of an Illness actually chronicles the whole thing. This is what it says on the internet about Anatomy of an Illness in promoting the book and the movie. Anatomy of an Illness illustrates the life-saving benefits to be gained through taking responsibility for one's well-being. There's something that we can do. God's placed it in His Word. It's a principle that we can adopt a merriness of heart, a cheerfulness in our spirit that is going to impact our entire being for good. God intended that a cheerful heart be a way of life for His people. It's a choice. It's an act of the will. The first thing that goes through my mind as soon as I wake up in the morning, be it naturally or through the alarm, and let me tell you, this is something I've had to really practice over the years, because, you know, like not everyone wakes up cheerful, right? But the first thing that goes through my mind and the confession of my lips first thing in the morning is, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, you'll be glad to know I'm very sensitive to the rest of the members in the household. In that, you know, it's not, well, bless God, honey, this is the day the Lord has made. Are you awake? Are you listening to me? I will rejoice and be glad in it. I don't do that. I'm a very sensitive husband. But it's a confession that's in my mind and it's on my lips. This is the day the Lord has made. And it's not just Sunday. I will. It's an act of the will. It's a volitional choice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, that doesn't make every day a fantastic day, but it's a pretty good start. It's a choice. And it comes easier to some people than others. But I used to struggle with depression. Praise God, I don't anymore. In fact, I have to work hard at getting depressed these days. But in my late teens and most of my 20s, I really struggled with it. I used to go into a black hole. Sometimes for days. And so I've learned this principle, and it's healed my life. It's healed my heart. It works. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And so what Scripture reveals about a cheerful heart is the condition of our heart will ultimately be produced in our body, either good or bad. A lot of sickness and disease is created in our bodies because of the condition of our hearts. And I want to prove that to you secondly now through what science reveals about a cheerful heart. What God told us nearly 3,000 years ago, medical science has recently found to be true. And I've taken some of these examples from an excellent little book on the joy of the Lord by Cole Stringer. Some of you may have heard his ministry over the years. He's a very down-to-earth Aussie preacher. He used to be a safari hunter in the outback. God touched his life. And he's a very down-to-earth guy, and he's written a number of books, and the one on joy is a tremendous little book. He talks in that book about an experiment that was conducted where the blood of several people was analysed and found to be similar. These people were then divided into two groups. Group one were told to remain happy, cheerful, and joyful at all times. Group two was told to focus on sad and depressing thoughts. And this went on for a number of weeks. I want to be in group one. After several weeks, fresh blood samples were taken from the two groups and analysed. There were significant changes. Group 1's blood was good. Group 2's blood now contained harmful chemicals. Medical science has proven that those with a happy attitude to life think more clearly, work more effectively, enjoy their leisure time, get on better with others, are generally healthier, have an enhanced memory, and their sense organs perform to their maximum efficiency. That is, their eyesight, their hearing, their taste, touch, and smell. So if you want to smell better, taste better, etc., etc., have a merry heart. Scientists have found a direct link between unhappiness and criminal behavior, immorality, low self-esteem, and mental illness. Many doctors today believe in the healing power of joy and laughter. Joy releases endorphins into the bloodstream. These natural drugs are more powerful than morphine. They give a natural high, they reduce pain, relieve tension, and aid in the healing process. Who's seen the movie Patch Adams? Most of you. If you haven't seen it, I think it's the sort of movie I can recommend from the pulpit. There are a couple of bits. Probably the last scene could possibly offend, but I think Bayside people in general are a reasonably relaxed sort of bunch. It's a great movie. I actually wanted to show a little bit of it in here today, but there were a few parts that would need to have been edited to show on a Sunday morning, so I decided not to. But the principle of the movie is what I'm sharing with you this morning. Patch Adams was suicidal. He admitted himself to a mental institution. While he was in the mental institution, he realised that he wasn't actually being helped much by the doctors there. But he realised he was being helped as he helped other people. And he realised there that he wanted to help other people. That was his mission in life. It took his mind and his attention off himself and his problems. And that's half the problem quite often in our lives. We become insular. We become self-focused. And he got himself out of the mental institution and he studied to be a doctor. And he eventually achieved his goal and he set up a hospital and it's still running in America. At the time the movie was produced, he'd had 1,000 doctors apply to be a part of his hospital, which is called the Gesundheit Hospital. And the basic premise that people receive good medical care and good medical attention, but they've made it a happy environment. And it's actually started a worldwide movement. I've got an article on it here that was in the Herald Sun. Wednesday, March the 7th last year, so just over a year ago. And I won't read the whole thing to you, but it's very good. The cure-all wonder treatment of the 21st century might be a bit of a laugh, it starts off with. A good chuckle every now and then does wonders for mind and body, according to Melbourne expert Dr. Craig Hassed. By reducing stress hormones and increasing positive hormones associated with relaxation, we may even be able to extend the lives of cancer patients, Dr. Hassed says. Even breastfeeding mothers can aid themselves and their newborns with regular laughter. A study showed humour raised levels of immunoglobulins. Didn't even know you had them, did you? Which warded off infections in the breast milk and saliva of breastfeeding mothers. This led to fewer illnesses in mother and infant. But how many laughs a day do we need? The answer cannot be given in minutes or number of daily chuckles. The simple answer is more than you laugh now. That's very good. There's a good little laugh over there. There's more. It's contagious, isn't it? You ever been in a room where one person started laughing? And it moves from person to person to person, doesn't it? It's just, and you don't know what you're laughing at, but it's just really funny. The more laughs you have, the more your body and mind will benefit. If yours is a 20 chuckle a day habit, double it. It's been claimed people now laugh an average of only half as much as they did in the mid-20th century. And if you struggle to find something that tickles your funny bone, don't despair. Research suggests even fake laughter relieves stress. Try breathing in and then breathing out hard and fast, saying, ha, 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 ha. That's good, it worked. And faking it often has the added benefit of leading to real laughter, like about now. Patch Adams, the American doctor who built a reputation for making patients laugh and inspired a film, is also the inspiration behind many doctors in Australia who believe laughter is a vital supplementary tool to conventional medicine. It's not the end in itself. It's a supplementary tool. In 1996, the Humour Foundation was established in Australia, drawing inspiration from the work of Patch Adams and the Clown Care Unit in New York. From the Humour Foundation came the clown doctors, real medicos dressed as clowns to raise a smile from patients and hopefully speed healing. An optional 12-week course in clowning and humour is growing in popularity for Monash University medical students since its inception a few years ago. Isn't that tremendous? I just love that. Negative emotions hinder the body's immune system, as well as producing a whole range of chemicals that can harm the body and cause sickness. Positive emotions, on the other hand, cause the body to function in the way God intended it to. At least 2/3 of those who visit doctors do so because of stress-related symptoms. Isn't that fascinating? In fact, stress and other psychosomatic problems, such as worry, fear, and depression, are the root cause of around 90% of all sickness. Your brain is capable of producing over 3,000 chemicals, some of which can harm you and others can heal. A cheerful heart releases healing properties into the bloodstream, whereas a crushed spirit causes harmful chemicals to be produced, causing sickness in the body. God knew exactly what he was talking about, folks, when he inspired Solomon to write those words 3,000 years ago. A cheerful heart does good like medicine. But a crushed spirit, a broken spirit, dries up the bones. And so adopt a cheerful heart. And sure, maybe sometimes you have to fake it. But better fake it than nothing at all, right? Sometimes you've got to start there. I heard an amazing, amazing story a number of years ago about someone who was suicidal. They were Christian people, but they'd been through the most horrendous time. And they were going to take their life. But before they did, they wanted to start thanking God for all of the blessings that they had in their life. And so they made a list and then presented it before the Lord and said, Lord, I just want to thank you for this and thank you for that. Thank you for my family. Thank you for the work. Thank you for all of the things that you've used me in over the years. And they started to praise the Lord. And as they started to praise the Lord, the burden of their problems and difficulties and the temptation to commit suicide just vanished away. And they ended up in praise and worship to the Lord. Sometimes you just got to start, even though you don't feel like it. It's true here on a Sunday morning, folks. Not everyone rolls up here on a Sunday morning feeling like praising God. And it happens to everybody, even me. I roll up here some Sundays and you go, okay, it's not going to be as easy this morning. You know? This morning was one of those mornings for me. I had to come here and really tune my mind in and focus on the Lord. And it was one of those, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I tell you what, I'm so happy now. I've preached myself happy this morning. It's a good day. But I had to push myself. And sometimes people don't push themselves. They just sit back and go, oh, it's a bad day. I don't feel good. I don't think I'll worship the Lord this morning. I think I'll just go through the whole day feeling miserable. In fact, I think I'll go home and have a pity party. And I'm just going to invite myself. And me and myself, we're just going to sit there and get miserable together for the rest of the day. And we're just going to enjoy feeling miserable. Well, you can do that if you want to. It's a choice. It's an act of the will. And I choose not to do that. What about you? Amen. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'll just finish with a couple of quotes, one from Cole Stringer. Again, he says this, if we only knew the power available to us through joy, so much sickness and heartache in our lives could have been avoided if we had only lived in joy. Man was designed perfectly by a perfect creator to operate in a positive, joyful, and loving manner. We do not function correctly in a negative, gloomy state of mind. The body itself begins to break down when we are depressed and sour. We are made in the image of God, our Heavenly Father, a positive, joyful creator. One more quote as the worship team come this morning. Adam Clark said this, "Religious joy, properly tempered with dependence on the help of God, meekness of mind, is a powerful means of strengthening the soul. In such a state, every duty is practicable, every duty delightful. In such a frame of mind, no man ever fell, and the health of the body is improved. A cheerful heart is not only a continual feast, but also a continual medicine, an excellent cure." So how do we go about getting healed? Rule number one, develop a cheerful heart by the grace of God. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. You're happy this morning?
Yes.
Oh yeah. You wouldn't dare say anything else, would you?